Good morning, everyone. God is so good, isn't he? We've been speaking on spaces over the last few weeks, but we're going to have a break from that. Just the other night, God just spoke into my spirit about something that we're going to look at. For those of you who don't know, my name's Neil. I'm one of the pastors here, and it is really lovely to have you visiting. If you're new, we'd love you to fill out a card, just say, yep, visiting you. If you're just staying and visiting, that's fine too, just fill it out. We'd be glad to have that contact and, yeah, the morning tea at the side. So, what happened to me was this is actually my third message for this week that came through. I just felt like to have a break from the spaces thing. And, it's just the other night, I was actually asleep. It's funny, twice now God sort of spoke to me in dreams, so I'm feeling like I'm getting to the old men have dreams sort of thing. Before I used to have those visions. And I want to talk to you about something called the first cause and the second cause today, all right? And what it's in relation to is miracles. So in my Greek pocket dictionary, it says the miracle is thaumā. So you can look that up. Miracles. Like, has anyone actually experienced a miracle in their life out there? Yeah? Bruce, can you come and tell me about a miracle that happened? We'll have to get this microphone.
When I was around about 40, I decided I'd start to play soccer again, and I wasn't as fast as I used to be, and those young fellas, they could run, but I slipped over trying to stop a goal and tore my cruciate ligament and ruptured all the other ones as well. And in the middle of the night, I got up to go to the toilet. I was only been married 2 years, I think, and I just passed out on the floor. My wife rang, didn't know what to do. She rang an ambulance and took me into hospital. But the next day, I was in Broome at the time, and we didn't have much of doctors and surgeons there, but they come up every 3 months, the specialists. And just so happened that the specialists arrived the next day and saw me straight away and did an arthroscopy on my knee and had a look in there, and he just said, "It's an absolute mess. It's you've torn, completely ripped off your ligaments here and torn those other ones there." And now every time I see those football players on the ground grabbing the grass and screaming, I know exactly how you feel, mate. So he said, "Look, we'll have another look at it in 3 months when we come back." And in the meantime, I went up for prayer quite a few times and didn't really see any obvious difference. But they came up 3 months later and did another arthroscopy and had a look inside. And he said, "Oh, it's quite strange, but your ligament has attached itself to another ligament, and but we'll still do a knee reconstruction in another 3 months." Okay, no worries. Went up for more prayer, and I went to Derby, 200 kilometres away, for the knee reconstruction. Woke up after the anaesthetic, bandage on my knee, and the surgeon came through at about 11 o'clock. And I thought, "Oh, yeah, I've had my knee reconstruction." And he said, "Well, actually, we didn't do a knee reconstruction because what is there is better than we could ever do. It's completely healed. It, you just don't hear of these things happening. They just don't fix themselves." So I'd prayed, just, "Lord, I want my knee to be right so I can, play with the kids and, just do the normal thing, have a normal kind of life." And God really honored that amazingly. And so, yeah, that's a real testimony of God's goodness.
Thanks, Bruce. And so when I've asked that question, has anyone seen a miracle or experienced a miracle? You probably even more people put up their hands, but I reckon maybe at least a quarter of the people put up their hand out there and said, yeah, I've seen a miracle. And I just felt like when I was asleep, God just said to me, this is your message. Why can't God do miracles? Why can't he do miracles? Because really that's sometimes the blockage in a lot of our lives is that why can God actually do it? How come God can do a miracle? What is a miracle? It's something that's just outside what could naturally happen. So Bruce is saying with his knee, he said, like, the doctors look at it and naturally they're going, that just can't happen. How can it fix itself? Now, I don't know how his health insurance went with that, but was he lying? No. There's obviously something wrong. The doctor had had a look and it was something wrong and it needed to be fixed, but by natural means it couldn't happen. And so somehow there's some external force, some power that's worked in Bruce's life that has fixed his knee. And in each one of our lives, you know there's parts of your life where you're thinking, I really wish God could do something. And I just felt like God was saying that the reason is sometimes, now we're not going to go, you know, digging up everything, but sometimes we just don't understand that God actually just does them. You know, I've seen some miracles on like YouTube and that, you can see miracles happening. I've seen them in real life. But there are some miracles that are just amazing, like where I've heard of miracles of people's limbs growing, like actually not just, you know, how sometimes people sit down and they move your legs and, you know, one grows and meets the other, but actually no leg. And a leg's grown. Well, how can this happen? How can things outside the possibility of reality actually happen? And so we have to believe in God, that he can actually do these things. And that's what I just wanted to talk to you about today, a thing called first and second cause. So if we look at nature and the way things are designed and the way God's worked in nature, second cause is this. Basically, when I get sick, my body begins to work against the sickness, right? So God in his great wisdom actually created us with bodies that could fight against sickness. And so sometimes you'll know you'll get a cold and you might be laid up for a few days, but you heal. You might get a broken bone. If it's set wrong, it'll heal wrong, but the bone grows together and it heals. There's things in our life that we see, they're second causes, they happen. When God created the earth and he created the animals, he said this, that they will reproduce after their own kind. So whatever they were like, God created the first one, but he said, inside all of these things, in these animals and in human beings, they're going to reproduce and they're going to produce after their own kind. So he wasn't giving way to evolution in that too. These are important things to think about as Christians. God said they will produce after what? Their own kind. In other words, the seed that's in them will reproduce. And that is the second cause, right? That's something that can happen because something else is being put in place. But there's earthly laws that govern those things. So we look at our world around us, and you might have heard of these things, like gravity is a law. We could call it a law, but it's something that God made. So most likely, if I grab this cup right here and drop it on the ground there, it's going to fall, right? Does anyone think it won't? Just remember miracle? No. It will, all right? It's going to drop down. It's going to probably smash on the floor because we know that there's certain things that happen because that's just the way it is. Gravity just happens to us. We're pulled down towards the earth, thank goodness. Does anyone not get that? Because I still don't get it. The earth is spinning that way. Has anyone ever stood on those merry-go-round things in the parks and you spin them? You don't go to the center. And my sister never went to the center when I was doing it with her. She went flying. But there's these forces that act, and God's made things to act a certain way. So how is it that God can actually do a miracle? Because I think sometimes we don't really think about it. And the thing is that we obviously think naturally, right? We think naturally. This is what I see, this is what I feel, this is what I experience. And that's normal. We should be like that. You know, we're looking and we're saying, this is what always happens. But why can God work outside of that? Let's have a look at, we're going to have a look at Genesis chapter 1. And we're just going to look at the first three verses, I think. So this is 1 and 2. So here we see God in the beginning created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. We'll just stay there and think about that for a minute. The first cause is this. What first made something come into existence? Now, God himself is eternal. He didn't have a beginning, didn't have an end. That stretches your mind too, right? Just like the merry-go-round. But I remember as a kid sitting in bed thinking about it. Where does the universe end? And your brain's just melting, you know what I mean? How can God have no beginning? How could he have always been? But God's outside those things. Something, he's way outside those things. So God is actually the beginning of everything. And in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty. So he's done one thing. He's created the heavens and the earth. They're made. But it was sitting there empty, formless, and covered by deep waters. And it was like waters over the earth, or in the King James it says, water covered the earth. It was dark. It was wet. There was no sun. There was no light. There's nothing at all. So we have, if we're looking that in that in terms of like the first cause, second cause, nothing could make it happen to produce life on the earth. It was desolate, empty. Water was over it. But the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. So here we see that for something to happen, with God to move, there has to be this power, this Spirit of God hovering over it. And you know what? That each and every one of us has the Spirit of God living inside of us if we are called sons and daughters of God, if we have received Christ as our Savior. But even more than that, God created human beings, and he even hovers over those that have never received Christ, because the only way we believe is because the Spirit of God actually brings us alive to Christ and his message. And so God was, and God created the heaven and the earth, and the Spirit of God was hovering. I just want to encourage you this morning that there's some things in your life where you are looking and thinking it's impossible, it cannot happen, things cannot change. Maybe God doesn't want to do it, but the Spirit of God is there, and he's hovering, he's waiting for opportunity to do something. Whatever area of your life it is, whatever area it is that you need a miracle, something that seems impossible and naturally is impossible, God wants to do it. He wants to go against those laws. So perhaps we could look at the sea. Like, let's have a look at some of the miracles of God. The Red Sea, where the whole of Israel passed through the Red Sea. God held the waters back. And the Egyptians went in and he covered them again. That's a miracle. The seas don't just part. They don't just do that. But God came in and he caused the waters to part. Jesus fed 5,000 with a few loaves and fishes. That's a miracle. There was something there to start with, but somehow there was a miracle that happened that multiplied it. Jesus prayed for blinded eyes, and all of a sudden the eyes were open. That's a miracle. Now, we have technology today. We have doctors and medicine, which is great, that can actually do things, that can probably even do some of the miracles that Jesus did, but they need to go through a process, a way of doing things. But with God, with miracles, the process is this, that God gets involved. God does things that you know cannot naturally happen. There's no way that can change, that situation can't change. There's no way that knee can be healed. There's no way my sickness can go. There is no way. It's impossible. The law tells me that that can't happen. Elijah gets taken up in a whirlwind. A miracle. Taken up to heaven. It says that Enoch walked with God and then he wasn't anymore. It just happened. Matt talked about the story of Philip the other week. And he was translated. He was in one place and moved to another by the hand of God, by the Spirit of God. It happened. The miracle of new birth in your life. The change that's happening in your heart, it's not a natural thing, because do you know what? As I meditate on sin and the way we live our lives, before the cross, there was a problem. Do you know when Noah's ark was there? Have you ever heard of that story and the flood that flooded the whole earth? God said, I regret that I've even made man, because from the day they are born, they become more sinful. They follow after this path of sin and they just seem to be getting worse and worse. That is without the Spirit of God, without that miracle of the new birth. But do you know what? After the cross has happened to you and me, those who believe in Christ, we don't sin more. We don't even want to do worse more. What the Bible says is we go from glory to glory, strength to strength, faith to faith. We grow in our faith and we become more holy as we live in Christ Jesus. So it's really strange that before Jesus we would go worse, but after Jesus, each and every one of us, the longer we're a Christian, the more we want to love God, the more we want to serve Him, the more we want to be with Him. It's a miracle, because the old nature that was in you before Christ is gone. And you are new in Jesus Christ. And that is a miracle even in itself, isn't it? Something that cannot happen naturally. The Spirit of God gets involved in your life and He compels you to this righteous life. It's a miracle. You can't do it by yourself. So the Spirit of God is hovering in all sorts of areas of your life. He's hovering over the people in your life that don't know Him yet, waiting for that word, the right time, the miracle, when you speak the word in season and they grab hold of it and all of a sudden they believe in Jesus Christ. The Spirit is hovering and He's wanting to do amazing things. Perhaps there's a sickness in your life and you're like, will it ever change? You might go to the doctor and get better. That's awesome. You should do that. But you also believe, because God can do miracles. And this is the thing that we want to get in our head. And not even can He just can do them, but He wants to do them in your life. I was talking the other day with a few people about this thing of healing. I think we're talking about healing. And the context is this. Does God only just do something to show how powerful He is? In other words, if I'm sick, the only reason that God would make me better is so that someone else might be impacted by that. Are you understanding that? So I'm sick. God will make me better so that someone else gets impacted. I want you to think about this. Is it possible that God could actually just do something for you because He loves you, for no other reason? We sometimes complicate that in our life, don't we? It's like, well, maybe He won't do it because of this reason, that reason, whatever reason. But what if God just actually loves you? What if He just wants to, as a loving father, do something for His kid? I mean, Jesus talked about it and He said to them, which one of you is an earthly father? If your son asks you for bread, you'd give him a stone instead? Not one, not one. Yet sometimes we have this idea of a heavenly father who's not good, that doesn't want to give good gifts to His children. But God wants to do miracles in your life. And the thing is this, He can do miracles. And it's not even hard for Him. It's not hard at all for God to do a miracle. It's harder for us to believe. I would reckon that's the truth. But He is waiting for us to invite Him into our life to do something that's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Can we just have that third verse up, Jemima? Sorry, the verse 3, yep. So we've got a formless, desolate earth. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, when I see that, does that sound really hard? Oh, not to me. It's like God's just saying, it's almost like He's just lying back on His couch, let there be light. There was. That's who God is. God is the first cause. In other words, He is the one who made in the beginning, and He made from nothing. That's what I want us to understand, that we often get bound in our head by the second cause. Well, these are the laws of nature. This is the law of sickness. This is the law of whatever it is. But there is something above that law, and that is God. And God can, and he does, and he will, move in your life in ways that break the second cause law, because he is the first cause. He's the one who started it all, and this is how he did it. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Darkness couldn't argue against him. He just said, "Let it be," and it was. And then as you go through Genesis more and more, he made the animals, he made the birds, he made humans. God can do whatever he wants, and there is no power that can oppose it when he is enacting his word. And that's what he wants us to understand in our life. When we understand that it's his word, not us, it's his word, it's his power, he is the first cause, and that is why miracles can happen, they should happen, they must happen, they will happen in your life, because God is above every other law. He is the law. Nothing. And so when we start to think of miracles, we often think of it as something hard, unusual, that God might do, but he might not do. But God is waiting for an invitation. God is waiting for an invitation into your life. Let's have a look at the Romans verse. Now that might look familiar to you, because we were looking at that in regards to faith, growing in faith as people of God. That is what the scripture said when God told him, this is referring to Abraham, "I have made you the father of many nations." This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and creates new things out of nothing. God creates new things out of nothing. That's why I wanted to look at Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There was no light. God just said, "Let there be light." God creates things out of nothing. And often that's what he has to work with in our life, isn't it? Absolutely nothing. That's why Abraham is spoken so highly of, because he was almost dead. You know, he was like 100. Sarah was just about the same age, and it's like, "You're going to have some babies, guys." Everything was dead, and in your life there are dead things, right? Right now as I speak, there's probably something in your heart where you're thinking, "That area is dead. That will never happen. This can never change. I can never get healed. I can never get better." Whatever it is, my relationships will never cement back together, but God said, "I'm going to create out of nothing." There's nothing to work with, and often we as people will want something. At least we can grasp onto something. At least there's something there that we can grasp onto, but God's saying, "I want you to believe as a people of God for things that actually have nothing you can hold onto. There is no earthly hope in them." But God can do miracles, and he can do them because he is the first cause of everything. God can do miracles because he is above everything else. God can do miracles because he is. And I believe that God just wants us to dwell on that. Do you want to see more miracles happening in your life? Do you want to see miracles happening in the church? Do you want to see miracles happening in the world? I know I do. And I believe God wants us to encourage us to believe for these things to happen. But the first thing in believing for something is believing that something can happen. If you don't believe that God can do miracles, you'll never see one, probably. Or you might see it in other people, but he won't do it for me. God is the first cause. He's the one who started it all. And he has so blessed us because he gave us all these amazing laws of nature or gravity or whatever it is, because he knows we need those to live. And he wants us to grow and live in these things. He wants us to mature. He wants us to just enjoy the abundance of that blessing on our life, but he also wants to be involved at times. because there was a fall, there was sin entered the world, there was disease entered the world, there was sickness entered the world, and the Bible says that death entered the world. And death happened. And death has happened in your life. Death happened before you received Christ, and sometimes that still holds on to you. Death happened after you became a Christian even. But that's not who God is, because Jesus said, John 10:10, I have come to give life, and life more abundantly. And so we're to live in that life, we're to believe that God can do miracles and understand that God is the first cause. I'm saying that a lot of times because I want us to believe it. I want us to know it and understand God is the first cause. And our God is the God who created something out of nothing. And so when there's lack, he's got abundance. Where there's sin, he's got grace. Where there's death, he's got life. Where there's nothing, he gives us fullness of joy. That's our message for today, guys. And I'd just like to just, maybe we could stand, I'll get the worship team up. And can we maybe just have a little bit of a slowish song where we can all just sort of just stand still and think about God for a while? Because what I want us to do this morning is to just start and think, where's the area in my life that I need a miracle? Where's their death? Maybe there is a sickness in your body. Did you hear Bruce's testimony? 6 months of prayer, he didn't give up, thinking that God might work. I mean, even Abraham's promise took years and years to come to pass, the promise of child. And sometimes we just give up, don't we? We just give up. But God is this God who makes something out of nothing. He is the first cause of everything. And so what I want us to do is just really meditate on that. What area of my life do I need a miracle? And as you're worshiping, just allow the Spirit of God who's hovering over your life in that area. He wants to take part. What I want you to do is just invite him into that area. Is someone depressed? They're just down and they need a miracle in their life. Just maybe open yourself up to God doing something. Someone sick. Just open up your life for God to do something. If someone lonely, open up your life for God to do something this morning. So we'll just worship and praise. Just meditate on that and just open up your heart for God. I will come down the front here to pray with anyone who wants to come forward. Maybe there's something in your life and you're just like, I want to see a miracle. And you want someone to believe with you, just come up the front. I'll pray for you. Maybe some others will gather around and pray for that miracle to happen. Can I promise it will happen today? I can't promise that. Can I promise God wants to do it? I can absolutely promise God wants to do it. And I can promise I will believe with you here for God to do something. Just worship. If you feel like come out the front, come up. But just spend some time really seeking God. What is it that you need from him? Raj said it this morning. You don't have because you don't ask. And sometimes we don't ask because we don't believe. We don't believe because we don't understand God's love for us. We think that it's got to be for a purpose, a reason. Can the reason just be that he loves you? Isn't it interesting that it says faith works through love? How can you believe if you don't believe that the giver loves you first of all and above everything else?